Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to an all-new episode of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my coach, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, man, I'm doing a lot better now, man. I'm just glad to be back. This is, shockingly, our first episode back of the year since the holiday break. Yeah, this is like a much longer break than we expected because we took the break for the holiday season, and then afterwards we both got sick, you know, and that's why we weren't able to do the show. So, I apologize for, not being able to do the show these past couple of weeks. So, we're going to do a little catch up and share our thoughts on what's going on in the world of sports in this new year. So, on today's show, we'll talk, about the Knicks, Julius Randle doing his best impression of a person who's trying to get himself run out of town.
Houdini? Houdiniac?
Yeah, he's trying to disappear, yeah. Should have thought about that before he signed the contract, but we'll get into that. Talk about the Cam Reddish trade, and he might be making his Knick debut tomorrow. We're also going to talk about Buckshaw Walter finally being official. I think when it happened, I think there was rumors of it happening, or if my memory serves me right, I think it was made official, and then he didn't do the press conference yet. He did, because it happened, December 2nd when the lockout happened?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So anyway, So they just announced the Mets, the whole coaching staff and all the rumors surrounding the Mets and the Yankees. We'll talk about that. Talk about football. Obviously the Jets and Giants season was long over. Giants got rid of, they cleaned house. We got a new GM. Talk about that a little bit. Talk about the NFL playoffs. And then, of course, give you our preview of next week's Royal Rumble. So if you'd like to talk about any of these topics or more, we'd love to hear from you. Number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. With that said, before we get into that, I guess, we should, offer, our, condolences for, some notable names and, in the entertainment industry who passed away recently, Betty White, Sidney Poitier, Bob Saget, Louis Anderson, Meatloaf. I mean, the list goes on and on. I've lost, I can't even think of all the people who passed away. Andre Leon Talley with fashion. I mean, there's so many people who passed away recently. So, my thoughts and prayers go out to their families and, the people who are directly affected by all these losses.
I agree. Yeah, definitely agree with everything you said. My condolences go out to all the families of those celebrities that passed recently: Bob Saget, Louis Anderson, Sidney Poitier, Meatloaf, Betty White. There's a couple of others that I heard in the news as well. I'm forgetting their names.
Ronnie Spector also passed away too.
Right. Yeah.
From the Ronettes.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah, it's a celebrity. This 2022 is not started off well. But,
nope.
My condolences go out to all those all the family members of those celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, hopefully it can't get any worse than it is right now. You know, with mm-hmm. COVID and all these passings, 2022 is starting to look like the last couple of years so far.
Yeah, it has been for sure. So our thoughts and prayers go out to, you know, all those noble names who and their families who passed away, and also the non-notable names that we're not familiar with that also been affected by all these tragedies and this illness and other factors. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Breaking news: Packers just lost. Upset. 49ers just beat the Packers 13-10. Breaking news.
Thank you for that, my friend. Definitely, yeah, we're definitely going to dive into that. Oh, yeah, another passing in the sports world. Craig Giles from the Islanders, the Islander dynasty teams from 80 to 84, he passed away recently, too. So.
Wow.
You know, our condolences to his family and, you know, the Islander fans who've been starting to see that team win another title.
Yeah, wow.
But, yeah, with that said, let's tip off with Knicks basketball, you know, before, I thought last week would have been leading off with Cam Reddish, you know, the trade, and hopefully that would, you know, boost, you know, the morale of the team. And since then, the Knicks have taken a complete nosedive. Lost three straight, and we all know who the big culprit is. You know, Julius Randle. You know, he's as great as he was last year. That's how horrible he is this year. And there has to be, you know, what I think is the factor in it that we totally forgot about it. Let me tell you what I think it is.
What was that? What's the biggest
factor? Remember, he was doing well when there was no fans in the stadium. But once we had the playoffs, we had the fans back.
You think so?
That could be a factor.
I don't know if that's it, to be honest with you.
It could be.
I think right now it's probably some mental.
Yeah, it is mental.
I also think that, you know, his performance in the postseason last year, I think it's escalated into this season. You know, he's still struggling at times. I mean, he's had some big games here and there this season, you know, but he's been very inconsistent.
Yeah.
And he hasn't put together consecutive stretches where he's performing consistently. So, you know, I think his performance from last year's postseason has trickled down to this year. And, he's struggling a bit. And right now the fans are not liking it.
Yep.
Some people want him out of town. I mean, I'm not going to overreact and say to trade him right now. You know, I'd say let it play out until the season's over, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, you can't trade him right now with the his value is at an all time low. You got to try to get something back of value for him. You know what I mean? What about a crazy trade? What about this crazy trade? I mean, what about if I don't think it's gonna happen? But what about if these two teams with plenty of history with each other does a crazy trade and get rid of both of their headaches?
Don't say Russell Westbrook, please.
I don't think it's gonna happen. But what about if that would happen? I mean, he's in it. You're talking about Randle's in his head.
Randle has been a Laker before, so he was.
Well, I know that. He started his career with the Lakers.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, man. That's Westbrook right now. He could be. I mean, he's a stat patter to me sometimes.
He is. Well, on this team, it's not gonna amount to anything anyway. That's what Randle's a stat patter. Well, he was a stat patter too, but now he's not even doing anything really.
Yeah, but Randle was giving us something last year.
He was giving
much needed scoring, you know, and he was a double double guy, you know, sometimes last year. But Westbrook, I think, if he came here to this team, I think I could see getting worse. So I don't think right now, I don't think that'd be a good trade, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'd be like an awesome trade too, unless if Westbrook got motivated. But then again, that's the reason why he got traded to the Lakers in the first place. To you know, him being teamed up with LeBron, and that should have been the thing to motivate him to try to win his first title.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't look like he's kind of like a point guard version of Dwight Howard. You know, it's like they're more concerned about their brand than, you know, winning, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you know, I love a guy that we can throw the ball to in the post, who can finish and score consistently. You know,
yeah,
we
I mean,
like right now.
We got Obi Toppin and Thibodeau don't want to play him. So,
yeah, no, Obi doesn't really have a pulse game, I would say, right now. He needs to work on that a bit. Obi is more of a dunker and a slashing type of guy. I mean, you know, sometimes he shoots from the outside, but Obi still needs to work on his game as well.
It's kind of hard for him to play. It's kind of hard for him to do it when people don't trust him to play, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why now this, you know, we could have drafted Haliburton, you know, but we didn't. You know, I love Obi Toppin, but they're not even using him.
Well, you know, we just traded for Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish could be if we do end up trading Randle, let's say at the end of the season, Reddish could become a nice player in this rotation. You know, because this guy,
absolutely,
you know, he can score. You know, he can shoot the ball and take you off the dribble. He'll be a nice player in this starting lineup going forward. So we'll see what happens when he comes, when he's fully healthy.
But the problem is we need a point guard. We need a good point guard.
And that's our biggest
that's
concern right now.
We've been having this problem for years.
Yeah, that's our biggest concern.
And they got to do it through the draft because no star player wants to come here. The only way we could get someone to come here is if they're, you know, either an aging player or most likely a mediocre to average player and overpay them for them to come over here. We're not getting any like elite stars coming here.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest thing we had was Kemba Walker, you know, a very good player, but he's been injury prone and, you know, he's been benched twice. One time, the first time was for 10 games, and then the second time was for 9 games. So it's like, you know, he's not only in Thibodeau's outhouse, doghouse, he's in his outhouse, man. He's like, I don't know what he did to him, like, for him to be, I mean, well, he did get injured the second time around.
Yeah,
I think it was his knee the second time.
But Walker, since he's come back, I mean, he started off great.
But then, you know, he came back to earth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right now I don't fully trust Walker right now.
You know? Yeah, he has bad knees. You know, it's kind of like Derrick Rose. You know, obviously Derrick Rose is hurt. He's going to be gone for like 8 weeks since the injury. But, yeah, that's the problem with Kemba Walker and Derrick Rose. I mean, they're both very good to, you know, explosive players, but they're past their prime and they can't stay healthy. Problem. They would have addressed our point guard situation if they were younger and healthier. But you know, those guys are best suited, you know, on, you know, off the bench. But you know, who's going to be the point guard? Who they're going to play? They're not playing. I mean, Quickly is not viewed as that. Grimes is a rookie, so. Unless those guys develop, they got to go outside the organization to try to do that.
Yeah.
Problem is nobody want to come here, so we're going to have to try to pull a Houdini act and make a trade or get a malcontent and hope he can turn his season around. And like Randle, who's giving people the thumbs up, like if he's Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor or something. My goodness, all my teams, all my players who, my star players who aren't producing the, you know, to their contract, they're giving the fans a thumbs down. I mean, it's a epidemic. Like, what's going on here? yeah, I guess we'll time will tell. Hopefully Cam Reddish can adjust to the team because, you know, obviously that was a wonderful trade. You know, I mean, you only give up Kevin Knox, you know. Best of luck with him in Atlanta. And
yeah, I wish we could have I mean, I wish Kevin Knox could have, you know, showed his potential here. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw flashes of his potential here and there, but, you know, he never really flourished here in New York. And I hope that in Atlanta, you know, that'll be a better setting for him to show the type of player that he can be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what was I going to say? Yeah, it looks like Obi Toppin is gonna be in that spot in a few years too, because they're not even using him really. The fans
and Obi Toppin is a fan's favorite though. I mean, fans ask for him more than Knox. You know,
no, I know that.
He has more highlights than Knox will ever have as a Knick so far.
No, I agree with you, but I'm saying Obi Toppin is going to be in this similar situation too, because if Thibodeau is not giving him minutes to prove himself, then he's going to eventually get traded or sign elsewhere. You know, because they're not using him. He's off the bench. He gets garbage minutes, you know. And we still don't even know what we have in him. He's a great high flyer, great dunker, but we still don't know. We still don't know what we have with him. Still there, Mac?
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
I'm listening to you.
I thought you were crying because you were thinking of the possibility of, you know, Toppin getting traded or something.
No, I mean, you know, Toppin, I mean, he's getting, again, he's not like Knox. I mean, he's getting minutes.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
Should he be getting more minutes? Yes.
Yeah.
But he's putting up more points, more highlights than Knox will ever have,
of course,
in his career. And
I agree. Just
the other night, not the other night, but wasn't it against? I think it was against Charlotte. He had like 11 points, or something like that. So I mean, you see like when Knox does get minutes, he produces. You know, but he gets minutes, but you know, Knicks fans want him to get more minutes. They want him to play more.
That's my whole point.
Well, I guess, you know, Thibodeau feels like he hasn't earned it yet, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Thibodeau don't trust the young guys, man. But he needs these young guys to turn this team around. These guys are, you know, a lot of the guys on this team are getting up there, and they're not, they walk the ball up. They need some explosiveness on this offense, especially from the point guard position. Still talking about needing a point guard all these years.
Yeah, I mean, people are saying, I saw some tweets, Raymond Felton was in the gym at the game, and people were saying that was the last good Knick point guard the Knicks had. Which I don't agree. I mean, Derrick Rose is on the Knicks. He's a good point guard.
Yeah. Derrick Rose is a good point guard. The problem is he's not healthy enough.
Right.
That's the problem. He can't stay healthy. These are the same people who wanted Felton out of the Garden too.
Yeah, Felton was only here for like what?
Like a year or two.
Like two.
Like two years. 2 years.
Well, here's what happened. Felton was here for 1 year, and then he got traded. I think came back 2 years later and spent like two seasons here.
Mm.
But you know, there was always issues about his weight, about him being slow. But he was effective when he did play. At times.
But that's my whole point. These are the same people who wanted Felton off the team.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, now they miss him.
Yeah, you know that old saying, you don't know what you have until it's gone.
Exactly. Felton was okay. I mean, but he wasn't like...
Yeah, he wasn't like great or something.
I know. Like, come on. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I guess we'll find out what's going on with the Knicks as the season goes on, because this season's dead. You know.
Well, right now they've lost two games. Well,
three.
They had three games in a row, and three games at home.
Yep.
At that. And so, yeah, that's not good.
It ain't getting better anytime soon unless they could get a miraculous trade and bring a point guard that's gonna inject life into this team.
Yeah, they got to start playing better because right now the season, we're halfway through the season, and, you know, they're sitting in the 10th spot, and they got to start winning some of these games that they should be winning.
Mm-hmm.
Real deal Holyfield.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, shifting gears to football. You know, what's your thoughts on, you know, the Giants, you know, cleaning house?
Yeah, I like it because this has gone far too long. Changes have to be made. And I like that we got a new general manager. I like that we got rid of the coach. We're looking for a new coach right now. But this move on signing the Buffalo Bills executive, Joe Schoen, as a GM, I think that's a brilliant move. Because look what he's done with Buffalo. And Buffalo right now, they could be going to the Super Bowl this year. And, you know, he's been the mind, you know, behind some of the, you know, drafting some of those players, like what's the quarterback playing for the Bills? I'm forgetting his name now. I shouldn't be forgetting his name because he was, like, one of my top fantasy players this year. Who's the Bills quarterback? Why am I losing his name? Josh Allen. You know, he's one of the brilliant minds of signing Josh Allen and some of these other players in that group that's going to be playing against the Chiefs tomorrow. I like it. I like the move. I think he's going to bring that brilliance to the Giants and help us draft some good players, help us bring in some good players. And, you know, hopefully the Giants could change it around. They could, you know, we haven't had a successful, we haven't gone to the postseason in like what, 6-7 years or something like that. Since that whole boat fiasco. Remember that? That boat situation right before we played the Packers in the playoffs? You know, that was the last time we went to the playoffs, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. So hopefully, you know, he can help turn things around and, you know, bring some new people here, like some new faces that could bring us back to the promised land again. So I like the move. And now we have to see who they're going to hire as the coach. Hopefully someone with a lot of experience.
Yeah, we'll find out. I think they're going to interview Quinn on Monday.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there right now, you know, that I'm hearing.
They interviewed Grable recently, you know, so.
I wouldn't mind getting, you know, the one guy I'd be interested in is the guy from Miami that was fired who did a great job.
Flores.
Flores. Brian Flores would be a perfect coach for the Giants. Not because he's a brother, but because, you know, he's from Brooklyn, by the way, Brownsville.
Nice.
But I think he'd be a perfect choice. I mean, look what he did with that Miami Dolphins team. You know, they played very well this season and had a chance to go to the playoffs. So I think he'd be perfect.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he definitely will get a shot, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely keep you posted on that. And, of course, on the Jets side, you know, their season was a disaster. You know, it was Saleh's first season. And, yeah, the big story is Jeff going to sign Berrios into, you know, extension? And, you know, that's, you know, we'll find out soon enough, you know. But, yeah, he played well. He, you know, hopefully he'll be able to. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the Jets, just like the Giants, they need to do a lot, even more for their side. But they showed some. They showed there were some positives with the Jets as a season ended. I mean, they played much better in the second half of the season,
especially you know, Wilson.
Wilson got better as the season went along. They still need to improve their offense and their defense as well. But yeah, they need to get more plays on the offensive side, man. Because like there's a lot of injuries with the Jets every year. A lot of key wide receivers, running backs get injured. You know, offensive guys on the offensive line. They need to improve that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit it right on the head, man. They definitely need to improve this team because they definitely need more weapons to turn this team around. Yeah. Which team out of the two you think is more closer to being, you know, respectable?
I think the Giants. The Giants have more talent. The Giants have way more talent right now. I mean, this year they underachieved. They underachieved with the group that they had. I mean, you had Barkley back. You had Galladay. You have Ingram, who could be very good and potential. I mean, the unfortunate injuries to Daniel Jones. You know, he didn't really. I mean, he didn't play well this year, but then again, he was injured. So I mean, this team underachieved. I mean, they were expected to go to the postseason, at least as a wild card this year. And they didn't even do that. So hopefully next year, you know, they could turn around and make the postseason for the first time in a long time. But I think Jets need more work than the Giants right now. You know, Jets sometimes they lack talent, I feel, on the Jets side.
Amen to that. Yeah, we'll definitely find out about that. And shifting gears, when another team of mine's, you know, regarding talent, who's on the up and up, and that's the Mets. You know, Mets. They're rumored to possibly might be going after Kershaw, but I don't think that's possible because I think he's either gonna re-sign with Dodgers or go to Texas because he's a Texas native. If he came, man, that'd be overkill. It'd be the Grom, Scherzer, and Kershaw. I don't see that happening. But then again, I didn't see Scherzer coming here either. What do you think about that possibility?
About Scherzer?
No, about Kershaw.
Oh, about Kershaw. I don't know about that, man. That's gonna be as a free agent signing.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you'd have to spend a lot of money to get him in that case. I mean,
I don't see it.
I don't see that. Because you guys just got Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have him. I mean, that's going to be a lot of money that you're going to be spending. And then you're going to have to, I guess, with who's the other pitcher? On the top pitcher? I'm forgetting his name now.
DeGrom?
DeGrom, yeah. Forgetting names tonight. But DeGrom... When was the last time? I think it was a year or two ago that you re-signed him, right, to a contract?
We signed him probably two or three years ago.
Okay.
And then after, but he can opt out after this year. I think he has two more years left on his contract.
Yes.
But you know he's gonna want a bump in his his money too.
So I don't know. How are you gonna sign both him and Scherzer? Kershaw. Yeah, I mean, that's good. That's a lot of money unless, hey, if you got it, spend it, you know, because I'm a Yankee fan. If you got it, spend it. But that's going to be a lot.
Yeah,
that's
But, like, again, I didn't see Scherzer coming. I think Scherzer would have been more of a tougher person to come. But, yeah, I think Kershaw, like Scherzer, you know, I think he'd prefer to be on the West Coast, or you know, I mean, he spent his whole career with the Dodgers, so I mean, it would be, you know, as a baseball fan, separating my Met fandom from it, it would be nice to see, you know, a legendary player spend his entire career with one team. But
But you wouldn't mind getting all the players because,
yeah,
let's be honest. Yeah. You see what you Mets fans? Let me tell you Mets fans.
We have to be in Yankee mode now.
For years, Mets fans were like, oh, you guys, Yankee, you want everybody.
Yeah.
Now look at the Mets side. Now
mm-hmm.
you guys are getting everybody now. Now, how does it feel now?
We turn heel. We have to turn heel.
Exactly.
It's too much. It's enough is enough. We've been goody two shoes this whole time.
You guys
time.
Made fun of us all those years for getting the agents using our money, our resources that we earned, and you would criticize us. And look at you guys. You guys are pretty much doing the same thing.
We have to now. We have to turn heel. This is our Bash of the Beach moment now. We got. We've been telling
I
our vitamins,
hear it.
Our prayers.
I don't want to hear it.
Now we gotta be heels now.
Yeah, that's.
Hey, if all the teams in the baseball hate us because we play in New York, now we gotta, you know, enough is enough. We took their crap for 35 years. Let's you know, now we got enough is enough.
You jumped on the bandwagon. That's what you did.
No, we ain't jump on the bandwagon. If I jumped on the bandwagon, I would have been a Yankee fan. There is no bandwagon to jump on.
You jumped on the spending bandwagon, is what I mean.
Okay, well, good. It's about time we had a spending. We didn't even have a wagon. We had the Flintstones. We used to like pedal our feet to go play the Flintstones. Now we got a new owner who's not gonna take crap from all these other teams, keeping us down. Time for us to rise.
You guys
rise
to
the top.
You guys used to call George Steinbrenner the greedy. And look at your owner. This dude has a billionaire.
Well, we haven't won anything yet. We gotta do what we have to do now. Enough is enough.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, I'm fine with being the evil empire. As long as we win the title, fine. Let's do it. I'll be evil empire number three, because of course the Yankees started it, the blueprint. Then the Red Sox stole their blueprint and won in 2004. And then after when they won in 2007, I'm like, okay, now they are really the evil empire. So now it's time for us to be evil empire now, you know. and then because we're gonna be singing Empire State of Mind in a Met jersey.
Man, I don't know if you guys are the evil empire. You guys are more like Kylo Ren.
Fair enough. I'll take that. The First Order. As long as the First Order has a title coming in October and the Tinker Tay Parade, I'm down with that. I'm down with the First Order. Yeah, that, you know what? That should be our nickname for now on. The First Order. The First Order. I see. I'm fair. I'm honest. You know, I'll accept it. Yeah, I was being hypocritical, but hey, now it's time for us to win a title. We try to do it the right way.
Well,
now we got DiBiase our way to a title, just like the Yankees have done.
Well, right now, you know, the way things are going with negotiations, who knows if we even have a season this year?
Oh yeah, that's true. Man, that's true. Buck Showalter's like, man, every time my team, I have a great team, there's always a lockout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's true. That is true. 94, he could have probably won one.
Yep.
Not for that. Well, that was in a lockout. That was pretty much a player strike.
Well, yeah. Well, they had the player strike in.
Yeah.
94, and that cost the Yankees and especially the Expos a shot at a title.
Yeah,
that year, the Expos never recovered. And speaking of the Expos, I don't know if you heard, there was a rumor that they were thinking and Major League Baseball was thinking about splitting the Rays in Tampa and Montreal.
Yeah, I heard that idea shot down.
That's a ridiculous idea. Like, why would you contract Montreal and then you're going to split them with Rays? Why don't you just create another team? I mean, they're moving Oakland to Las Vegas, of all places, you know, and they're supposed to be against betting in baseball. Why don't they just have Pete Rose manage the A's? in Las Vegas. Like, that's hypocritical.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Come on. I admit I'm being hypocritical with, you know, the Mets now being an evil empire. But
oh,
come
the
on.
First order.
I mean, they got the first order, yes. The first order. But, yeah, man, they got to own it.
Yeah.
They gotta own it that they're being hypocritical, you know. And then Beltran's the only person who lost his job out of the whole Astros scandal. And you know, there's rumors that maybe the Yankees might hire him. You know, as a maybe an announcer.
Interesting.
You know. But yeah, back to the Mets. I love the hirings that the Mets hired. You know, behind the scenes, you know, some guys with Yankee ties, Alex Cora's brother who's been a long time third base coach with the Pirates and other teams, you know. You know, they have guys with experience. And then, you know, the coup de grace to me would be, you know, Eric Chavez, you know, a guy, you know, who's their new hitting coach. You know, he was going to be the assistant hitting coach with the Yankees this upcoming year, but he changed his mind and came to the Mets. And, you know, what's good about it is that this guy, he had, what, I think 6 gold gloves, and he was a good hitter. So I think as a hitting coach and a pitching coach, you need a guy who's actually been in the trenches, a guy who's actually, you know, at the very minimum pitched in minor leagues, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just get a guy who just knows analytics and just make him a hitting coach or a pitching coach, and he never, like, tried anything. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So I like the signing of Eric Chavez, you know, as their new hitting coach, because you know, he has, you know, he's a guy who's had hitting success, you know, in the big league. So props to the Mets on their you know, their coaching staff. Not to mention, I mean, with Buck Showalter, you know, he's a veteran, you trust him. So, you know, there wasn't a need for an experienced bench coach, but I mean, they did get a veteran guy in Glenn Sherlock, who, you know, who's worked with Showalter in various different organizations, and plus he worked with them a few years ago, too. So that's a return for him. So yeah, you know, I like the moves that they're doing, direction they're going, and yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But then move on with the Yankees. You know, Yankees, you know, they're rumored with Carlos Correa. And I don't know if you heard, he moved agents. Now Boris is his client also.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I mean, his agent, I should say.
Yeah, I heard about it. Some people are saying it's closer to him signing with the Yankees, which
mm-hmm.
We'll have to see until I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't know if he's going to be – right now it's sounding like the Braves are an option, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers. I think those teams are – they're likelier destinations for him than the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. But I know Boris, he has tricks up his sleeves. He always has tricks up his sleeves, so – he'll try to, you know, land. He'll try to give Correa the best possible team to that's best suited for him, and try to get him the highest contract that he can get. And who knows? Maybe the Yankees end up being the highest bidder,
mm-hmm.
as they usually are. But in this case, I don't know. I just have my doubts.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, Freddie Freeman's a free agent. Yeah, Schwarber, I mean, we'll see where he ends up. But yeah, but going back to the NFL, who do you think's gonna win tomorrow? Rams versus Bucks.
I am going with the Bucks, even though Bucks they do have synergies right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Tom Brady, man. Can't bet mm-hmm. against him. So I'm going with the Bucks.
Yeah, man. I'm with you 100%. Bucks at home. They got Brady. I mean, like, what else? I mean, What more can you say?
Yeah.
You know, Bucks all the way. And then you got Bills versus Chiefs. This is going to be an interesting matchup. You got Allen versus Mahomes. This looks like this should be a classic.
Yeah, that's going to be a high scoring game. You know, I think the Bills are going to upset the Chiefs tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that way too as well. You know, Mahomes getting that loss with the Bucks. You know, it kind of you would think this should be a chance for him to redeem himself, but this Bills team, you know, they're on the rise, man.
Yeah, they have a lot of offense, a lot of talent. I think, and they beat the Chiefs earlier in the season, so or middle of the season, so they could do it again.
I definitely think Bills is definitely. Yeah, this is they're gonna do something special here. Like it's the 90s, you know, they're gonna upset the Chiefs. I think if it was any other team other than the Bills, the Chiefs would advance. But something about the Bills team this year, for the past couple of years, they've definitely been a team on the rise, a team to look for, you know. So I think I agree with you. Chiefs will lose at home.
Yeah, it's going to be some good games tomorrow. Tonight, Bengals upset the Titans. And the Niners shocked the Packers. So you had two upsets today.
We think it's going to be Bengals, Bills. Who do you think wins that NFC championship? No, wait, what am I talking about? Did I say Bengals? I mean, 49ers, I was right the first time. The AFC.
Yeah, you're right. Bengals, Bills,
AFC.
Yeah.
Bengals, Bills, AFC.
The Bills.
Championship.
Bills.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Bills will advance to the Super Bowl for the first time since the 90s, the mid-90s.
Yeah, that'd be great to see.
And on the NFC side, you're going to have 49ers versus we think the Buccaneers. And I think Bucks will advance. I assume you think the same as well.
I think Bucks will advance, but I wouldn't be surprised if 49ers shocked them as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could possibly happen, but again, I don't want to bet against Tom Brady, so I would say Bucks.
Mm-hmm. And then so we'd have Bills versus Buccaneers.
Wow, yeah. you're just jumping to the Super Bowl, aren't you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do that.
Well, I mean, in that case, I'd say Bills. It's Bills to win it all this year.
I think Bucks will win. I'd be rooting for the Bills, but I think Bucks will win.
Yeah,
against Brady. Their Cinderella story will end there.
Yeah, the reason the Bucks, they have some injuries right now. You know, they lost one of their top wide receivers in Godwin. The running back Leonard Fournette, he's been injured. He's coming back, but he's coming off an injury, and they had a couple more injuries last week, I think. So, and they lost Brown. Brown's no longer with the team anymore. Antonio Brown. So they're missing a lot of their offensive weapons right now. You know, so I don't know if this year they'll be able to repeat. You know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they can make it to as far as the Super Bowl. But you know, can they beat the Chiefs again this year or the Bills? I'm not sure about that. So you will have to see.
Yeah, time will definitely tell.
Yeah.
We'll definitely find out on February 13th who will advance.
Yep.
But, yeah, that was an impromptu Super Bowl prediction right there.
Yeah, Brady an interesting note. Brady hasn't gone back-to-back in Super Bowls since the early 2000s, I think, with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
his last three Super Bowls, I think, have been like every other year, I think, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while since he's gone back to back.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, time will tell.
Yeah.
With that. And speaking time will tell, next week, next Saturday, we're going to have the Royal Rumble. And it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a big Royal Rumble. They're going to have some people from their past come back. I think, what's your thoughts of them spoiling the entrance, like Mickie James, the Impact Women's Wrestler to return, Summer Rae?
You should have kept that as a secret.
I know. What was the point of that? The only way you would do something like that is if it would be is if they have an even bigger surprise. Yeah. But knowing WWE, that's not the case. That'll make no sense. And Mickie James would have been a shocking surprise because you'd be like, wait a minute, she's an Impact. Not only is she on Impact, but she's the Impact Knockouts champion. What is she doing in WWE?
Yeah.
And they ruined the whole surprise. Like, it's just an example of WWE doesn't know what the heck they're doing lately. They can't do anything right. And when they do something right, they do something to ruin it.
How'd you feel like if we went to a wrestling event and then this man, he came up to you and said, I've heard what you said on your show, Sports and Legend, and he just smacked the shit out of you. What would you say? What would you say or do?
I would let my fist do the talking. If he would disrespect me, I would slap him faster than Sidney Poitier slapped that white guy in the in the heat of the night. If he just there slaps me. I'm not Austin Theory. I'm not gonna sit down with him for like a half an hour, you know, gushing all over him and trying to win his approval. No, if he slaps me, I don't care if I'm a WWE superstar or a fan. A dude puts his hand on me, I don't care if it's Vince McMahon or Ed McMahon. He's gonna get slapped. He's gonna get slapped back.
He'd have you escorted like Charles Oakley out the building.
Exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't be true. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to shoot.
Oh man.
But I'm getting my receipt back. I'll tell you that much. True. Disrespect me. I'm Austin Theory taking selfies and trying to get Vince McMahon's approval every single week. Oh man. Speaking of that. It's the same storyline over and over again. Like, is Vince McMahon trying to PO the fans? Like, how is it supposed to get him over? You know what? I would even be surprised if Vince McMahon makes this guy win the Royal Rumble at this point.
Yeah, you never know.
Because it's like, this push is so, it's Jinder Mahal bad from a few years ago when they put the WWE title on him. It's like, stop forcing it.
Yeah, you never know that. Hey, I could see that happening.
Okay, I get it. You see him as a chosen one. You see something in him. Fine. Okay, that's good. But geez, the same skit. Oh, I don't even know if you could call it a skit because it's not even funny. It's just cringeworthy.
you know, Mr. McMahon. Shut up.
It's like it's the same thing over and over again. Like, I just feel like purposely taking a bathroom break and coming back.
Good
and it's still going to be talking. It's just annoying. Well, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I agree. It's like, I don't even know why they're giving this guy that much attention, to be honest with you.
For real.
I mean, is this the new Vince guy?
He is. I mean, he was on NXT. If you remember, he popped up a few years ago. He popped up a few years ago in WWE, and then he was with what was his name? Garza or was it Garza and Andrade, I think, or one of the two. And then he got sent down to NXT. He got sent back down to NXT, where he formed a faction with Johnny Gargano, who's now a free agent. Johnny Gargano's, you know, real life wife, Candice LeRae, who's pregnant or gave birth. I have no idea what's her status right now. And then Indy Hartwell, who's still in NXT. So yeah, they had that four of them formed a faction down there. And then they broke them up, and then you know he got called up. And then for the past month or two, we've been having these segments of you know them just you know him just appreciating Vince and trying to you know. I don't know, win his heart and, you know, and Vince is just, you know, just rambling on and on and on about, you know, doing these horrible things to him. And I don't know, it's just these promos are like.
Yeah,
we should get paid.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Paid. What were you going to say?
I wouldn't be surprised if Vince makes him the part of the next Kiss My Ass Club.
I mean, That's literally what's gonna happen. Like, I mean, look what happened to William Regal. William Regal and some other people, Road Dogg, people who've been in the organization for so many years, especially William Regal. You know, he literally joined Vince McMahon's Kiss, you know, because my behind club, and he got fired. It's still the same as behind. No pun intended. To get him fired decades later, like, I mean. It's just a horrible story. You know what's another bad storyline? A storyline that could potentially be good, but it's just drawn out so many times.
What?
The Sonya Deville versus Naomi story. Storyline is going. Oh, it's like so one sided. Like if they would have done this, like if they would have started this feud now and then have it, you know, culminate at WrestleMania, then it could have made point. It could have made sense. But this story has been dragging on since the fall? I lost count. Has this storyline been going on for 6 months? I literally lost count. And it's like, it just don't look right. Like, it has the whole Booker T, Triple H, you know, underlining subliminal racism kind of, you know, storyline to it. Like, you're not good enough to you know, be a champion and all this stuff. It's like, Naomi won the title like twice. Like Sonya Deville didn't win the title not even one time. Like just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what is WWE thinking of these storylines? Like it just comes off borderline racist. You know, not saying that you know obviously that you know Sonya Deville or you know is racist or anything like that. But I'm just saying the storyline how they're portraying the character. You know, they didn't establish why she has this vendetta against her. Her against Mandy Rose, you know, made perfect sense. They were tag team, you know, Mandy Rose got all the attention, you know, and she didn't. That made a perfect sense. If this feud would have been against Mandy Rose, that would have made perfect, which they did have a feud before Mandy Rose went down to NXT, ultimately became, you know, the NXT Women's Champion, and now she's a heel herself. With her faction, Toxic Attraction, I think it's called. So yeah, that would have made more sense. But yeah, it's just and that's another thing with WWE nowadays. Back in the day, in the Attitude Era, you know, you could come even the Ruthless Aggression Era. You could, you know, the bad guy, you know, the boss, you know, he, you know, especially, you know, obviously it's Vince McMahon. You know, he does something bad to you, and you don't care. You get your comeuppance, you know. Whether you lose your job or not, you know, hey, I don't care. I'm going to get my revenge. Now with this modern day, you know, era, they don't write the heroes as tough. Like they don't care. Like it's like they make the modern day stars look like punks. Like you're going to get slapped. Like it's not believable that Naomi would just let her get slapped like that. Like she would just get slapped. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't—it's not believable. It's not believable. Like, Austin Theory, yes, it makes sense. You know, because we don't have that much of a background, and he doesn't come off as a tough wrestler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it don't, you know what I mean? So he could get bullied or whatever like that. But like these, you know, I don't know. It's just. You see what I'm talking about?
I see what you're talking about.
Like these people are too afraid. Even Big Show years ago when it was with the Authority, you had Big Show crying. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's yeah.
Like,
now these WWE superstars are pussies.
Well, I didn't want to say it that way, but I mean that's how they're being portrayed. Like,
they
I mean they're being bad soft. Like,
they're not as tough. They're not as hard as they were back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not them per se. It's just the writing and the limitations that they have. You know what I mean? It's just the whole philosophy of WWE is just messed up, and then that's why they're cutting all these people, and then they don't have nobody to Bobby Lashley versus Lesnar. It might be the, you know, this is not even an exaggeration. This might be the last legit dream match in WWE history, or at least for a very long time. You know what I mean? Because WWE is not really having legends like that as they used to. You know what I mean? Like they're cutting people. You know, you don't really, you're not gonna have many like dream matches. With the exception of the Royal Rumble, you know what I mean? Maybe WrestleMania, but WWE just keeps future endeavoring people. You know what I mean? Whether they're longtime legends who's in the company or people who are on the rise who you saw in like 3 to 5 years would be on a legendary status, like, you know, Rusev or Bray Wyatt. You know what I mean? Like people who if they didn't cut them, you know, would have been on that level.
Yeah.
But WWE, it's like you don't know who the left hand don't know what the right hand's doing, and you know, I could be in a feud with you for the WWE title today, and then tomorrow after this show, right after this show, we find out we're both future endeavored, and then they vacate the title. Like there's no rhyme or reason with this company anymore.
Yeah, man, they need us as writers. That's what they need.
They do, but the problem is, you know, he wants yes men. You know, he wants people, because literally they've admitted that they don't write for the fans. They write just to please Vince McMahon, you know, and that's why basically it's literally the same stories regurgitated over and over and over again,
yeah,
with barely little progression. It's the same storyline, the same 50-50 booking. I beat you, you beat me. You know, it's just same predictable. Like last week, why did Madcap Moss beat Kofi Kingston? You know what I'm saying? There's another thing about, this is what I'm talking about booking. Madcap Moss, you know, he's big and he would be a legitimate person who could have beat Kofi Kingston size-wise. He's a big dude, you know. If he had a gimmick change, he could have been an imposing threat. But the way how they portray him is like he's just a goofball and Baron Corbin sidekick, you know. And you can't take him seriously. So Kofi Kingston, a former WWE champion, losing to him last week, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. A lot of things that WWE does with their wrestlers these days and a lot of these storylines don't make zero sense.
They don't.
This thing with Natalya, she's losing every week. I mean,
Natalya, right, yeah.
Natalya, she has more talent. I mean, she's part of the Hart dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like WWE is acting like she's a jobber nowadays. You know?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, come on, she's not give her more respect than that. You know,
the only time they give her respect was when they said she has 3 records in the Guinness Book of Records, and it made her lose like in 3.1 seconds. Like that's a record you can't. Nobody gonna beat that record.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
It's the whole thing. The whole thing with is Seth Rollins a good guy now?
I don't know what he is.
On SmackDown, up until this point, he was a heel. But now on SmackDown, yesterday, now they're portraying him as a babyface now. Like I don't know what the heck's going on now.
Yeah, I don't know what he is. He's like a tweener, I guess.
And well, before yesterday, or I should say Sat Friday. He was definitely he was definitely a heel. Kevin Owens was definitely a heel. SmackDown, now that he's Friday Night SmackDown, now that he's going against Roman Reigns, now they suddenly turn him into a good guy now. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, speaking of this, don't get any sense, let's just dive right into this. These matches. Let's see. You got Becky Lynch versus Doudrop. This is another story. They're both heels battling each other for the Raw Women's Championship. Like, there's no rhyme and reason to this. If this storyline was done better, it could have been a lot interesting. I mean, Doudrop, she started out her career in WWE as a babyface, being Eva Marie's sidekick. And then Eva Marie got released, and then Doudrop turned into a heel for no reason. And then Becky Lynch, you know, obviously she returned as a heel. And Becky Lynch purposely got herself disqualified so she could face Doudrop, who has a size advantage over her. Like, stuff like this doesn't make any sense. You know, Doudrop would have made sense, you know, if Becky Lynch was a babyface and Doudrop was a monster, you know. But it's just, they're both heels. Like, they recently turned Doudrop heel, like maybe a month ago, and now they have a heel versus heel match. But, I mean, heel versus heel matches could work, but the way how they did it, it's like it just seemed rushed because she just turned into a heel like a month ago, and Becky Lynch is like a tweener right now too. She's a heel, but then she has some moments where she's like a baby face kind of.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know about this matchup. It's a weird It's a weird matchup. But
I agree. Becky is gonna retain it just for that.
I think Becky's gonna retain it, of course.
Yeah, like to me, this is kind of like the Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. This match would have been much better if Becky Lynch was a baby face, and Doudrop was you know, a heel, or even vice versa. But having them both as heels, it's like you don't even know who to root for.
Fuck this match.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Edge versus Beth Phoenix, Miz and Maurice. Hands down, Edge versus Beth Phoenix.
Yeah,
I mean,
of
no
course.
Question.
I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
They want us to believe that Miz and Maurice are going to win, but we all know Edge and Beth Phoenix are going to win this.
Hands down. Like, we don't even have to even debate this. Then you got the Royal Rumble. The Women's Royal Rumble. Who do you think's going to win that one?
Wow.
I literally have no clue who's going to win this.
Yeah, that's a...
It's definitely not going to be Mickie James. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be Mickie James, but... I could see the person who wins this, they're going to end up challenging Becky Lynch.
Oh, a person just popped in my head now.
Who?
Bianca Belair back-to-back.
Could be. I'm thinking Liv Morgan.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be not a bad thing.
Thinking Liv Morgan. Well, I think Liv Morgan, then again, she might try to challenge Charlotte. Charlotte still has the belt, right?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, so I think then again, Becky Lynch would be a good opponent for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I think WWE wants to give Liv Morgan a push.
Yeah. Yeah, Liv Morgan is not a bad choice.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's gonna do it. But
you think Bianca's gonna do back to back? Wow. That's
decent.
All right.
All right, men's one. Now, this one is kind of tricky because are the guys who lose these title shots are still going to be in this Royal Rumble? That's the thing. Like, that's where the whole tricky situation is. Will Lesnar or Lashley win it if they lose, if they fight in the match and they lose it? You know, are they eligible? To me, they shouldn't be because, you know, I mean, it just – kind of means like that, you know, They knew that. To me, this match, I would assume this. Do you think this match, the Royal Rumble match, is going to end the night? I would presume, instead of Lesnar versus Lashley or Roman versus Rollins.
I think it's gonna be the other way around. I think the Lashley and Lesnar match will be the last match.
It should be, because they're hyping it up. It should 100% be that.
Yeah.
But the men's one, it depends. I guess if the guys weren't eligible, technically, I guess Seth could win it. Because Seth isn't gonna win.
Hasn't been announced yet, has he?
I don't even remember. I think he was. I'm not even sure, to be honest with you. Because we all know Seth's gonna lose to Roman Reigns, for sure. This men's one is kind of a toss up. Something tells me it's either going to be Lashley or Lesnar. But then again, their match should be the last match. So this men's one, I can't even. Maybe Drew McIntyre is going to be eligible to come back? Because I know he was hurt.
I'm not even sure, man, to be honest with you. Right now, this is a major toss-up with the men's.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because I literally have no idea who's going to.
Well, Big E would be a good choice, though.
Yeah, Big E hasn't won it yet, I don't think.
Yeah, that would be a good choice. If Lashley does win the title, then you could have Big E and Lashley at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
that actually would be bad.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's my choice. Big E is going to win it. That's his way to get back into the title picture.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad bad selection.
And, I think we already said the women's one already, right?
Yeah. I picked Liv Morgan.
Oh, yes, and I said Bianca Belair. Okay, so, yeah, let me see what else is. Okay, well then, last but not least would be Lesnar Lashley. And my mind is telling me Lesnar, but I think WWE should do the right thing and make Lashley win it, because it makes more sense for Lashley to win it, because the whole feud can continue, and it makes more sense if Lashley wins instead of Lesnar. If Lesnar wins against Bobby Lashley, I mean we all knew it's going to happen. It's anticlimactic. Lesnar has nothing to prove with this.
Yeah.
Lashley is the one that has to prove that he's not a Brock Lesnar wannabe. And, you know, it just makes more sense for him to win it. And in that way, if Lashley wins it, then you have a potential of having a second or even a possible third, you know, rematch, where Lesnar would try to even the score or win two out of three.
Yeah, I want Lashley to win it, but I don't know, for some reason, I just have a feeling Lesnar's going to retain it.
Yeah, I know, because this is WWE's rationale. The rationale, I mean, it makes common sense for Lashley to win it, because this is Lashley's moment. This would be, for Lashley, this is similar to Lashley. Lashley winning this would be like when Rock defeated Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 18. This would be his defining moment that's going to put him in rarefied air, where you actually finally give Lashley his due, and finally view him as a future WWE Hall of Famer instead of a very good superstar.
Yeah.
This is the defining moment that he needs. Because when you think about it, other than him winning the title against The Miz, he doesn't really have that many defining moments, really, when you think about it. I mean, you'd have to go back to his original run, winning the ECW title and, the Intercontinental title, or even the Battle of the Billionaires at that WrestleMania against Umaga. Other than that, he doesn't have any, you know, doesn't have any, like, he doesn't have many defining moments, in WWE.
Yep.
So this is the match he needs. He wants it. Everybody knows he wants it. It makes more sense for him to win it. And then this could set up a future feud. If Lesnar wins it, I mean, there's not even really going to be that much of a need or a build up to a second possible match.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough. You have anything else you'd like to say before we head out?
No, everyone, just stay safe out there and enjoy the rest of the weekend and come back. Check out Sports Server Legend every Saturday at 11, only here on Block Talk Radio.
All right, man. So, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode. Man, next week's going to be kind of tricky. I don't know if we're going to be able to do one on Friday or maybe the week after that. But, keep yourself locked in. Tune into the next episode. So we might have a special Friday episode, or we might even do it the week after this in 2 weeks. So keep you posted. I wish I knew. But again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. He is Macaulay Matthews. I'm William Remo, and I'll see you guys next week. Well, hopefully, or maybe the week after that. Peace.